Welcome to the Pinecone Image Podcast. We're developing your negatives into an image of beauty for everyday living, starting with self as the first beholder of beauty. May's sponsor is Podcast Tutoring Service, expert mathematics private tutor for middle school and high school students. Students interested in skilling up for college and career readiness, be prepared for the upcoming Algebra 1, STAR exam, Regents test in New York State to meet graduation requirements. Use code TUTORMAVEN1, TUTORMAVEN1, for a $10 discount off a 60-minute session or a group of four 60-minute session. Okay, listeners, welcome to our show today. Today we'll be tackling a complex and deeply personal topic on the theme of Mother's Day. And we'll be looking at different emotions, different topics connecting to motherhood. Today's topic is forgiving an emotionally absent mother. Our guest today is Dr. Michelle Robinson. She is a pastor of the Christian faith, an expert in the field of higher education and counseling, a practicing clinical mental health therapist, a mother, a daughter, an aunt, and a sister that will cross the line with you or for you as love in action. Welcome, Michelle. Our listeners are here. We will have listeners who might not fully understand this concept. Could you briefly describe what emotional absence is from a mother might look like or feel like?
First of all, thank you so much for having me on Pinecone Podcast. I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you and your listeners in the areas of mental, emotional health. Forgiving an emotionally absent mother is a topic that resonates with me because I have discovered personally and professionally, that there are mothers who have physically given birth, but are emotionally unregulated to grow, develop, and mature their children into self-sufficient and productive adults in society. So an emotionally absent mother may provide for the physical needs, food, clothing, and shelter, may even supervise activities on the extracurricular realm. But when it comes to feelings, anger, grief, sorrow, disappointment, dissatisfaction, or even a verbal disagreement with household decisions, there's a wall there. So the child, an innocent, never is taught emotions are valuable. Their emotions can be handled and regulated because an emotionally absent mother has not the skills or ability and probably not the parentage to grow it, develop it, mature it in their offspring.
That's very clear. I know that our listeners are tuning in what it means to be self-regulated. Most children coming up in school, that is an area that a teacher will speak to. How is your child self-regulating when it comes to peers and adults? So this is a topic that we are interested in learning more about. What are some common emotional wounds or challenges that can arise from having an emotionally absent mother? You talked about that in your introduction. Give us some more.
It's very interesting that you mentioned the school system because emotionally dysregulated children are often labeled bad kids or put in special education, frequently suspended, habitually absent, poor grades, and somehow labeled unable to learn. So those are some of the characteristics that you will find. But the emotional wounds, hindsight is 20/20. So most people don't look 360 degrees. It would be the role of a school counselor. But I would say specifically in African American homes, we've long lived by a mantra that says what happens at home stays at home. So if your mom beat you the night before, you simply go to school shut down. Your affect is off. You are hurting on the inside, but you do not have a safe place or outlet to allow the expression of that emotion. And it is the expression of the emotions in their full spectrum, from anger, rage, to happiness and joy. That needs to be seen, heard, and validated by an adult in childhood in order to have the foundation for an emotionally regulated adult.
Are
So
you?
the wounds occur when you're not seen, heard, or validated. In larger society, people of color are marginalized. People in the margins are not seen, heard, or validated. May 1st begins Asian American Pacific Islanders Month. So they're highlighting famous people from that ethnic origin for the first time in a long time. We have Black History Month, we have Women's History Month. These are cultural efforts to bring these individuals on the margins into the forefront. The same should be done for feelings in the home. Anger. If someone breaks your toy, you have a right to be angry. Now, can your mom allow for that and then put you back together? Yes. But if you get screamed at for breaking the toy and the toy is never replaced, that's leaving a different type of wound. You're not deserving. You are a person who breaks things. Or if someone takes something from you and doesn't return it, and you feel that it's yours, and then there was no rhyme or reason for the taking, perhaps you become someone who is a thief. You start to act out. You start to hoard. When there's never enough conversation around the spectrum of emotions, because what we're talking about essentially is life. In this life, you will have some ups and some downs, some hills and some valleys. It is in the safety of family that those circumstances, situations should be discussed and handled. Death, divorce, the dying of a pet. Years ago, the Cosby Show, they had fish. And when the fish died, you see the Cosbys with little Rudy around the toilet bowl, giving the fish a funeral, sending him out to the sea. The fish had become a part of the family and
Right.
is dying, needed to be handled, that the child would begin to understand loss and the rituals around handling loss. So if you take that example from that sitcom and then put every other emotion in it, there always needs to be a ritual, an acknowledgement around healthy emotions and unhealthy emotions to be addressed in family. So anytime it's unaddressed, you've left a wound open.
So what I understand you to say when you said if a child is beat, you're talking about appropriate discipline, or are you talking about a mother that was abusive?
So it's a combination of both. A healthy home that allows for physical corporal punishment needs to have conversation around the punishment. So a punishment that is a beating should not be done in anger, because a 150-pound adult with a 50-pound child and a belt or rod or switch can do damage in anger. And if in fact the corporal punishment is to regulate the child's behavior because they were disobedient, the words, love, and affirmation of that child remaining a part of the family and being able to right themselves must be a conversation. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you because I'm disappointed in you. That would be a conversation a parent would need to have with the child and constantly reinforce, because the child brain has not developed to the point where it's going to understand the benefit of discipline until much, 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 much later in life.
So what you just addressed is the impact of the child's self-esteem in the relationship, that the maternal absence can impact the child's self-esteem in doing good, because if the overall well-being is not being addressed as they grow older, is that
So I want to put this in the context. I want to leave it in emotions, right? Because a person can be physically there. Food, clothing, shelter, money, lacking nothing material. And the child can still feel unseen and unheard. Parents are to create safe emotional environments. Now, I would venture to say that this is a relatively new thing that we have highlighted in the mental health community. Maslow's hierarchy of needs: food, clothing, and shelter, safety and security, and a sense of belonging. So, what happens is, got the place to live, okay? You got food to eat, but that belonging is not quite sealed in the connection with the parent, because the parents don't have it to seal it. So then the child seeks belonging. Maybe in the community. Hopefully, there's a safe place at the church. This is why we have the Boys and Girls Club of America. This is why we have programs like Big Brother, Big Sister, the Boys and Girls Club, religious organizations, after school. And to some extent, this is also why the Catholic Church had time and time and time and time again to sexually molest the little boys. because parents were leaving this belonging to another entity outside the home. And anytime that occurs, you have set up, I'm gonna no, I'll, you have left the door open. And in my spiritual head, you've left the door open for the enemy to sow seeds of low self-esteem, seeds of insecurity. I would say one of my battles personally with an emotionally absent mother, physically present, provided materially to a certain extent, but emotionally absent from major things. It left me insecure and with a high need to control my environment. Because it's almost like when a parent is not there emotionally, you never know what to expect. And you cannot continue to always live in a frantic, I don't know, when is the shoe gonna drop? The next shoe is gonna drop. And if that shoe drops, is it going to wreck everything that I've planned for? There's a level of, I'm gonna use this term, anxiety. And now we have generalized anxiety disorder. I think the last time I read, we have over 20 to 40% of the population on some type of psychotropic drug for generalized anxiety, not related to anything specific. It's just jitters about going through life. That's someone who did not have an emotionally safe environment created for them. And in adulthood, you then have to try to attempt to create that for yourself. And in creating that for yourself as an adult, you are then attempting to control things around you. And that I believe we then say, oh, that's a type A personality. Well, type A people, number one killer, heart disease. That level of stress has a physical impact.
It does.
That mind-body connection can never be underestimated. Mindfulness is a better treatment for generalized anxiety than the psychotropic drugs. But who can sit still long enough to meditate for 30 minutes when all of your life you've been on the edge?
So here we are in the season of Mother's Day, and many are so excited about this season, and there are some where they dread it in its coming. So imagine now this child is now responsible for self. So that means they have reached young adulthood. What might be some initial steps that they can start to consider when you bring in forgiving their emotionally absent mother, because you began speaking to how an adult begins to try to control their environment in order to bring about clear expectations or a structure so that life they can thrive in life. So what might be some initial steps?
So the first step is it's always self. If I can go scripture, forgive so that you can be forgiven. So what you need to recognize is that there's healing needed for you. And in letting go, you set yourself and the other person free. One of the things that I was pondering when you proposed these questions is that my mom gave birth to me at 21 years old. At 21 years old, she did not have a high school diploma. That's a very different mindset. If you think about it today, a 21-year-old having a baby is going to lack necessary resources for their own survival and for the proper rearing of the child. Now, to my mom's credit, she was married. So she had a partner. But what I didn't say is that I was her third child at 21. So at 21, she had three children under the age of five and no high school diploma. And my mom is someone who had hopes and dreams. So having hopes and dreams deferred makes the heart sick. So there's no reason for me to hold my mother responsible for what she didn't know at the time. Now I'll fast forward a little bit. I hold my mother responsible for today because what you did then requires the acknowledgement that you did not have tools and skills. What you do today, when you know that there are skills to be had and outcomes to be desired, is different. It's very, very different. So I don't think my mom will ever change. Well, it's really not my call emotionally. However, I do understand she had a very emotionally distant dad and mom. My mom is a love child. Her parents were never married. She lived with her grandmother for the first 7, 8 years of her life, maybe even 12, before going with her father for about 5 or 6 years and then returning to the South. This detail I learned after I turned 50. I think I was also over 50 years old when I learned that my mom and dad were baptized at the same time. And she was 8 months pregnant with my brother. So that meant my brother went down in the water twice. He was in utero and was baptized as a young kid. He was almost 60 when he learned that story. And I have that recorded from my father. So I guess what I'm saying with respect to forgiveness, you have to let people be the way they are and focus on healing yourself. Forgiveness is for the individual, it's for me, it's not for my mom. So I let go because I understand she could do no more than she could do. And the gift to myself is to walk in freedom and to improve.
Which is the scripture that you use for comfort is Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, it tells us in the NIV version, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And I appreciate that in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, as one of the scriptures for comfort. Is there a scripture or song that may have come to mind to you that provides comfort? Because what you're talking about is a growth process. You're talking about a development that is going to occur over time and with a safe community and family to grow and heal. So, is there, when you look to your spiritual side, is there a song or a scripture that comes to mind?
There are many.
For that you can offer for guidance or comfort for
There are
any
many.
person grappling with family relationships and dealing with the concept of forgiveness. Because again, A lot of people are not seen in that they are not excited about Mother's Day. And I'm hoping that those who are hearing this will be able to get through Mother's Day and not wish it away, but be comfortable and be okay with it now because they're able to put Mother's Day in its right space.
I am a product of the Missionary Baptist Church. And the one thing I know for sure is that yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak,
Weak.
and he
He
is
is
strong.
strong.
So, if that's my song, my interpretation for your audience is Jesus loves us. We have to fall in love with him and his word. The encounter, that personal encounter with the Savior, changes everything. Because you then understand he has a plan in mind for you from the beginning, from birth till eternity. So nothing has happened to you that he's been unaware of. There's no circumstance, no situation that he cannot redeem, repair, and turn it around and make it for good. Matter of fact, Romans 8:28 lets us know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. So nothing is wasted, no experience is wasted. What we need is patience and time. And when you study the scriptures from Abraham, Joseph, even Daniel, angel came and said, I heard you, but the enemy stayed me 21 days. So minimum 21 days. David, it took 13 and then 13 years before he became king. Abraham, 25 years before he had the baby. Joseph may have had the dream at 17, but he didn't become ruler until he was 30. Jesus was Jesus at birth, but his ministry didn't start until 30. So the encounter with of knowing Jesus loves you and that you've been called to work a work, you need to let him work in you. And it takes
I
love
like
on
that.
yourself. Love on yourself and let him love on you. Let him free you. Let him deliver you. We are mind, spirit, and soul. My spirit is saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. In my soulish area where you have those emotions, they need to be submitted to the Holy Ghost. And then others need to be delivered by the power that is working in us. Anger, malice, things that we are told to get rid of. With the Bible says, you get rid of it. It didn't say that I'm going to take it from you. It says, you put off that anger. You watch your tongue and what you say. So it's a process. So I say to your audience, falling in love with Jesus and his word, you will find healing and deliverance for your soul.
I definitely agree with you, Dr. Robinson, about finding healing, deliverance, and peace. You make me think of the biblical mother of Leah. Leah was, her husband was emotionally absent, yet when she turned to God and to God's word, she received her healing. So, this Mother's Day is a Mother's Day of expectation for all. In a journey of forgiveness, as we look at you explain to us that forgiveness isn't always a linear process. However, you are responsible for yourself in order to forgive, so that you can be forgiven. I can appreciate that. Can you think of possibly some common hurdles or setbacks someone might encounter on this journey of forgiveness from an emotionally absent mother?
Self-awareness. My therapy approach is very eclectic, but what I find most helpful is the cognitive approach to therapy. Most people are so unaware of who they are, what they're doing, and how they show up. They think one way,
What they're doing
but their behavior,
and how they show up.
demonstrates another one. So mind-body alignment is one of the things, always a goal in therapy. And most people don't know that's what I'm going to say when they come in, but when they start presenting issues, baby, you're saying you want this, but your behavior is doing something else. You want love. You want acceptance, but you keep accepting less than. So many times it's self-awareness. I call it a self-observing ego. Can you see you? Do you know how you show up? Do you know the perception of you? And that's a God thing as well. And some people think it's demonic because if you're scary on purpose, you're scary.
Is it necessary or healthy to have a direct conversation with the mother in order to achieve forgiveness?
No, not at all. Depending on personally, there is not agreement on circumstances, times, and events in my family. We all have different perspectives on certain things and their impact. I am a realist. Impact speaks for itself. And truth, in my opinion, has a voice of its own as well. So
Amen.
there's never a need to have the conversation for forgiveness. However, I do encourage the journal practice of writing a letter, letting, because it's almost like two ways. You need to forgive your mother. You want your mother to receive your forgiveness or acknowledge. That's the piece you've got to cut out. In the 12 steps, step five or six is making amends, right? So
And
if you,
not alcohol
yes, and Alcoholics Anonymous and all of the other self-help programs have some form of the 12 steps where there's an attempt for you to take responsibility for you and what you did. The individuals that you hurt, harm, destroyed their lives, drunk and drove over their kids and killed them, have no obligation to forgive you. But you can heal yourself through the acknowledgement of what you did and making the effort. Many times you won't get the opportunity to encounter the parents or, or your mom or dad could be dead. The man who molested you as a child, the uncle, the cousin, the nephew could be in jail or dead. Write the letter anyway. You hurt me. I hate you. And for so long, you caused me to hate myself or behave this way. I no longer want to do that. I forgive you. Write it, put it in an envelope, put it in a bottle, send it out to sea, set it on fire. Heal yourself. That's a one-way street. It's not a two-way street.
Noted. You make me think of one of your library books you shared with me years ago. on journaling called Ordering Your Private World by Gordon McDonald. That was an excellent book that you shared with me. And when I think about that, it brings us to this point. What key message or hope of encouragement would you offer someone listening on this journey of forgiveness? Because it is challenging. It is challenging to do the work of self.
For both the secular audience and the sacred audience, I want them to know that emotional regulation is a superpower. And in order to have the superpower, you need to do the work. Even today, stock market up and down, tariffs, prices, eggs, gas. There are lots of emotional things going on. Having your inner world aligned with self, mind, and body is important. You are going to need to be stable financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically. The benefits in the long run, healthy body, healthy mind, healthy soul, attractive to like-minded individuals, healthier relationships. That's the reason that you want to begin this journey. You want to adult, have fun adulting. Own adulting. You know, if you a Bible says if you don't have any, he who shows himself friendly has
Friendly.
friends. So get yourself together so that you smile at the barista when you go order your coffee. Chick-fil-A says, my pleasure, my pleasure. You know, I don't know one teenage or adult person working at Chick-fil-A that does not end with that mantra, because that's Chick-fil-A's tagline. I don't care if they burnt your chicken, they're still going to say, my pleasure. The pleasure to serve you. You want to get to the point where that joy for you is genuine. And then it becomes infectious to those that you are around. And I don't want to say that this is a destination. I want to be careful to let the audience know that this is a journey. You know, it's a journey. I think as I enter my birth month, I'm in a different place. The journey is different. There are all sorts of mile markers that tell me I'm in a different place. I'm in a different place. Emotionally, physically, definitely spiritually, and how I show up. I surprise myself sometimes.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Dr. Robinson, you have shed light on this sensitive and important topic. Your insights into the journey of forgiving an emotionally absent mother are truly valuable. Our takeaways for today is emotional regulation is a superpower. Enjoy adulting. For our listeners, remember that forgiveness is a personal journey with its own timeline. Be gentle with yourselves. Seek support if needed. Until we meet again on Pinecone Podcasts.
Thank you so much for having me today.